You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. 0% financing for 84 months right now on the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado, plus up to 10 grand in price reduction. This may be the best deal on Silverados ever. Check it out, Lakewood Chev. Bud Steen, 30 years as CFL official, now an evaluator, joins us. And I know that's obviously not the case, Bud, but as a guy who and I know you work with the Eskimos.
Yep.
Right, so maybe you're a horrible teacher. I'm not sure, but what is it when you see their game? Why are they so penalized, especially on defense?
Well, I mean that's a tough one. And we were chatting off mic earlier. I see them wound tighter than a drum. Mike Benvenuti's defensive style is to put serious heat on the quarterback. They do that right from the snap of the ball, and sometimes, unfortunately, prior to the snap of the ball. So a significant number of their penalties are coming on the defensive side. You know, the offsides on the defense are frustrating, no question. But so much of it depends on the quarterback and his ability to adjust his cadence. Yes, the guys are coached to watch the football, but I see them jumping even during practice because they're trying to put serious heat on, and they're successful at it when they've got their bodies and when they've got their best players in there. There's probably not another team in the league that can put that same kind of pressure, but somehow they've got to find a way to just calm things down a little bit. I did a check this morning, and they're giving up almost 27 yards a game on the Stampeders in terms of average penalty yardage. So you can't afford to do that against a ball club like the Stampeders, who make a few mistakes. The Stampeders, by the way, are the least penalized team in the league. So, you know, Monday is going to be a real challenge for the Eskimos.
Oh, without a doubt. Now, yesterday on the show, because the Eskimos, you and Neil missed a convert, and the Riders, Carter, returned it. It turned out to be like 147 yards after he ran through the end zone and then up, and he got 2 points.
Yeah.
And now that the converts move back to basically being a 32-yarder, missed field goals, if you return it, it's 6 points.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the original reasoning why a returned convert miss is only 2 points, or a fumble or what have you on it? Do you think that rule should be changed now based on how far back converts are?
Well, it's kind of hard to accept the fact that a touchdown's been scored and it's only worth 2 points. Now, mind you, I was going to say on the offensive side, if you want to chase a PAT, so to speak, you're only going to get the 2 points. But that's 3 yards, not 110 yards. So I like it. I think it's a good suggestion. I was not a fan of the change when we left the ball live on converts. And frankly, the only reason that I was not a fan of that rule change was because of tradition. And I can attest to the fact, as can probably a half a dozen other people around, that I didn't always get it right. I have a shattered whistle at home in my drawer that reflects the fact that after a game in which I killed a play, I jumped on my whistle in the dressing room and smashed it to bits. So it took me a while. I was an old dog. It took me a while to get it right, but I like it now. And I think we've had two this year go all the way back. And it's bloody exciting.
Yeah, like, shouldn't it be 6 points, though?
Well, if that were the case, then the scoring team, that is to say the team that is attempting the convert, will put in smaller bodies so that if they miss, they've got the legs to chase down a skinny guy running the ball back. So they're going to they'd have to make an adjustment from the coaching perspective.
Couldn't you just put your field goal unit on for your convert unit anyway?
Yeah.
Realistically, you probably should be at this point.
You know, and to be honest, I haven't studied who they put out on their converts. They may very well be doing that in any event. But certainly The Eskimos had a great deal of difficulty chasing whoever it was that went in for Saskatchewan on Friday night. And in fact, the closest guy to actually making a tackle was one of the big guys. So, should they have some speed on there in case they miss? Most likely. I like the suggestion. I've said it several times. Fans like points.
100%.
And if it only happens once, twice a season, what's the harm? People really question the concept of awarding 2 points for taking that convert back. However, it didn't take the NFL long to
implement. Do the same thing. Yeah, they have the same rule as the CFL.
Yeah.
The other one as a rule change, because I don't think it impacts the integrity of the game or the history of the game. And I appreciate your honesty, because a lot of us are at times, we're like, well, that's tradition. That's what I like. And I get it. We're, a lot of us have certain things we're traditional about that we want to change. Junior football has the rule that on a kickoff, you take it 2 yards deep in the end zone. Even if you get to the 3 yard line, you scrimmage at the 25.
Mm-hmm.
It encourages guys to return the ball rather than just take the knee.
Yep.
And that one's, from what I understand, has never been tabled as a rule change in the CFL. Why not? Like, what would be the negative to having that in place? Because right now, when you kick it, because it happened in the Eskimo game, right? Yeah. You kick the right after the touchdown, the building's buzzing. Then the kicker kicks it off. It bounces at the 5, rolls slowly into the end zone, and the guy takes a knee.
The only time that it would be counterproductive in terms of the game could be a situation where the team receiving the kickoff had committed a penalty on the convert, such as defense offside, and the ball has been moved up. We've seen a number of kickoffs this year. Edmonton had one, I believe, 2 games ago, where there was an unnecessary roughness foul on the convert, or on the touchdown preceding that convert. So Edmonton moved the ball up 15 yards, and then O'Neill hammered it through the goal. On Saturday night, Calgary had one of those. They dropped the ball in the goal, and Toronto chose not to run it out, and Calgary gets a point. So it might affect the whole approach to the game from that perspective. That penalty really isn't worth anything because, I mean, kickers really have 2 approaches to a kickoff. Hands team, so it's going to go 10 to 25 yards, or kick the hell out of it and try to get it as far down as you can. And it's easy to kick it through our end zone. I think that would be counterproductive. But beyond that, I don't mind your suggestion. We've spoken about it before. It does promote aggressive returning. If the ball is kicked close enough to the dead ball line, that's still a fair distance. If you've got to run that ball 18 yards with all those bodies coming at you, you've got to have pretty quick feet. I think it could promote some more interesting activity down in the goal area. And actually, when you've got guys going as hard as they can to get 16, 18 yards, the ball might be exposed, and you might even find balls coming out so that the kicking team ends up recovering deep in the other team's goal area. I don't mind it. In amateur ball, they also have the rule about it intercepting and getting it out. So, it's a good suggestion. I've not been at the rules committee table for a number of years, but I have certainly not heard it presented there, and maybe its time has come.
Bud Steen joins us inside the stripes. Now, penalties are still down across the league. I know Edmonton fans are like, well, this can't happen because, well, the Eskimos are the most penalized team in the league. We're now basically at the midway point of the season. What has been the biggest drop-off in infractions from last season? Has it been pre-snap penalties? Has it been pass interference? Is there one that sticks out?
Not anymore. No. We're starting to see some other stuff creeping in. It's a number of things. Number one, we, i.e., the officiating department have changed some standards in how it is we are approaching the black and white of the rule. Example, procedure. We are now, in some limited instances, allowing slight movement by an offensive lineman prior to the snap of the ball. Whereas in the past, we used to penalize if these guys jiggled the least bit. Any movement whatsoever, we would penalize. We're giving them just a little bit of latitude there. But we're not seeing right across the board. There have been fewer illegal contacts, but only a very fewer number of them. They're still there. There's still guys hooking on to receivers at, you know, 6, 8, 10 yards and getting penalized for it. I think the teams are just getting settled in on how they're approaching the game. They're giving their opponents room to move. They're doing a very good job on contact as the pass is coming in. We're not seeing an awful lot of roughing the passer. In fact, when you look at coaches' challenges, the one challenge that I would not recommend to a coach this year is challenging roughing the passer, because there is 0% success rate at those challenges. And it's not just that the command center is sticking up for the referee. We're calling the ones that have to be called, and the rest of them just aren't there. And I think that the defensive players are doing a very good job at avoiding, if they possibly can, roughing the passer.
Yeah, I understand the challenge of it. I've yet to see one that was so obvious why you'd overturn it.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Going back to coaches' challenges for a minute, where the coaches are successful this year are on the passing ones. They're 69% at having...
Like pass interference, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
On defensive pass interference, if the coach has challenged, just under 70% of the time, he's getting the play changed, whether it is a pass interference that was called and command center says, no, it's not pass interference, or vice versa. And we're at 59% on illegal contact. So that's where things are working for the clubs. The other nice thing about the recent rule change on challenges is we're not seeing the fishing expeditions that we saw years ago, because there were more challenges available, up to 3, two successful plus the bonus. And so you would see coaches literally just throwing their flag for what the heck.
It's almost like an extra timeout.
Yeah, and an extra timeout. And that's why, of course, the league stepped in and said, no, we've got to make an adjustment here. So what we're seeing is the coaches are being an awful lot more careful about what they're doing. In the Saskatchewan game on Friday night, there was a play that Saskatchewan should have challenged. They would have been successful. One of the assistants was, I think it was Jarius Jackson, was standing with Chris Jones, and he's like, throw your flag. And Chris is kind of looking at it and went, nope. And
which play?
It was in the third quarter. And Darian Durant took a hand right to the chops. Kevin Glenn got popped right in the mask. And
Glenn was infuriated. He was yelling.
He turned around and he motioned to the referee. The referee moved up and around and got a couple of bodies between himself and Kevin Glenn. He didn't get it until he got my report on Sunday morning, so to speak. Sure, they would have got a roughing the passer on that one.
Now, the one play, the pyramiding you don't see very often,
no.
Kenny Ladler, where basically he propelled himself trying to block the field goal, where you can't put your hand on the back of the guy in front of you.
Yeah,
You cannot
use the body of another player, doesn't matter which team, another player, to either elevate yourself to block a field goal or a convert, or to sustain your height So, you know, one hand down on a guy's shoulder and another hand up in the air, and it gets you an extra second or so up in the air. So that's pyramiding. It's really only useful if the kicking play is unsuccessful for the kicking team, because if they have been successful at the convert or the field goal, they're going to decline the penalty because there's no add-on for the pyramid. It's a procedure call. It's a minor penalty, and it's not an add-on.
But as always, great stuff. We look forward to Labor Day weekend. Intense game, Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, of course. You got the Eskimos and the Stampeders, Hamilton and Toronto, yeah. Ottawa and Montreal. It's always loads of fun. Look forward to it. We'll talk to you next week.
Right on.
Bud Steen, Inside the Stripes.